Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Osage. Let's all stand if it's convenient for you. As we sing a new song, just reminds us God is always faithful. Amen.
I believe He gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders in time, and You're still the same. I believe every word that You said. I believe there are scars in Your hand, that Your goodness is good without end, and You'll never change. I will tell of Your wonders, sing of Your grace. The God of creation, who knows me by name, the Lord is faithful. Yesterday, now, and always, always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, while all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always.
I believe You will come in the clouds. I believe You are here even now. In Your presence I know there is power.
Good morning. How are y'all? I think we have two announcements here. Lauren, you want to go first?
The air conditioner in the children's church is out still, so we are going to have children's church in the youth room today. So I'll meet all the kids in the gym when it's time to dismiss for that.
I always have to have a helper. Well, these are in the foyer over there in the gym. Osage Baptist Church, Your Life Matters Rally, coming September the 10th, 10 to 2. Aren't we excited? If we get excited, yay! Okay, Miss Shirley is over the kitchen again this year, and we're going to do just like we did last year. We're going to have it just a walkthrough. We're not going to do the kitchen again this year. That worked really good last year. So I think that's going to be good, and we'll have the tent set up, the big tent set up out here for people to sit at. And we're going to have a cookie baking day one day, not to be decided, correct? So, and we're going to have cookies for dessert, and I think it'll be a really great time. We fed almost 500 last year. We had almost 500 plates, so I'm expecting it to be that bigger this year. We do need door prizes, and we need pop and water to be brought. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, a little bit of extra stuff. Tonight we're going to continue our Detours Bible study during this evening, starting at 6. August 9th, their nominating committee at 7 p.m., the 11th, there's a deacons meeting at 7 p.m. And next Sunday morning, there will be a Gideon speaker for the morning service and a business meeting that following evening. And this on Saturday, the 13th, coming up, the youth group that's going to Harrison for the One Conference will be leaving at 8 a.m. from here. And then we'll probably return about 8 p.m. that night. So it'll be a all-day deal. So if y'all need to get with us, me or Erica, do it here after church. But will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for every blessing you've given us, Lord. God, I pray you be with all the schools about to get started up and everything that's going on. God, I pray you keep us safe this year. Keep us safe from everything going around this world. God, I pray you just watch and protect us. And let's have a great week and a great year. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, it's the first Sunday of the month anyway. If it's your birthday, we're going to sing happy birthday to you. So any birthdays in August? Looky there. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Anniversaries. Any anniversaries this month? Uh-huh.
Happy anniversary to you.
Let's all stand as we sing When We All Get to Heaven. One, two, three.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the
victory.
It camped along the hills of Lehigh, ye Christian soldiers ride, and crest the battle there the night, shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory.
All right. Hang on. We're going to do the other version now.
Okay, let's try.
We're going to do the Matt Porter version.
Banner over us and love our sword, the word of God. We tread the road of saints above with shouts of triumph strong. By faith they like a whirlwind swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining.
When you're driving, you'll get to wherever you're going an hour sooner, I promise. All right.
My life is built on your faith. Thank you.
You will come through. You
for greater things. You will come true. You always do. I trust your name for greater things.
You know, it's not always in our timing, but it's in God's timing. He will always come true. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please.
As our men come forward to receive the morning offering, we're delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. One of our men will come lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us another day to come worship you. And please bless all that have come. And please help us to listen to this message we're about to hear. And please bless this offering. Help it to go further than it normally would. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're involved in children's church, you can take charge of those students now. They're going to meet in the gym, so if you guys are, well, they're going to meet somewhere else, but that's where they're going to gather at first, I think, is in the gym, and go to the youth room. Not as many pity-pity patters as there normally is. All right. We're still in 1 John, so if you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. This word is our instructions for life. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, 1 John 1. And we're going to begin with verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We need to grab hold of that. Sometimes we might have a tendency to believe that God deals in gray areas, but not. That's not true. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You may be seated. How about, we've got some guests with us today. Miles, our grandson, who hadn't been here in quite some time, and his two sons, our great-grandsons, Cole and Cooper. And we were coming through Conway yesterday, and there was a guy standing beside the road, had some baggage and a guitar strung across his shoulder. And we stopped and picked him up, and he's here today, and his name is Noah Jernigan. Yeah, there you go. Well, really, all that other I made up. We picked him up from his dad yesterday in Conway, and Noah's going to be spending a week with us, and you know Noah from past experience, and we're glad to have him with us today, and also he's going to be spending the week with us, and we're grateful for that. Now, there's about three subjects in this passage that we're looking at today. And, of course, you picked up on that as we read through the passage. One is light, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's not a shady area as far as he is concerned. And as he talks about sin, he doesn't talk about little sin and big sin. Now, I've had folks to ask me if I thought that it didn't matter. Little sin, big sin, well, it's true. Both of those are sin, but the consequences of sin are different. You may have broke the speed limit coming to church today. Anyone do that? If you've got singing that song that Mike was talking about this morning, you just keep giving it more gas. But there's a difference in breaking the speed limit and committing murder. Consequences of that's much different. And so he talks to us today in this passage about sin, describes what sin is. And then the third point of this passage is the forgiveness of sin. What it takes in order for us to get forgiveness, and how fantastic that is in our life. So I want to talk about sin, and I've borrowed something from Roger Grisham today. A bow and arrow. This don't really look like a bow and arrow, does it? I mean, it's a great old big object here. And a target. Roger, come and help me and set this target up for me to shoot at. I'm going to ask Roger to give me a few pointers, because for one thing, I've never... Which direction do you point this? Like this, right? This left-handed or right-handed? Do you hold it like this, Roger?
No.
How do you?
Switch hands.
Switch hands? Yep. Oh, you hold it in this hand.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Then you pull it back with your right hand.
This string.
Yeah. Now, that's got about a 70-pound pull.
Well, that's going to be
hard
to pull back for an old man. What's this strap here for?
I'd keep you from dropping it on the floor.
Oh, you put that over your wrist?
That's how much faith I had.
Oh, okay. You put that like that, I take it. Okay. All right. And this is the arrow.
Yep, just pull that out. I didn't put no razor on the end for you.
Oh, okay. And you put that for...
Yeah, well... Ladder in here. Lock it on here.
Okay.
Now you've got the business in.
Okay.
You just pull back and let her fly.
All right.
What your target is.
Listen, well, let me tell you what I was going to talk to you about. Is when we talk about sin, we've heard it so much, we've heard that word so much that, everybody's a sinner, right? Is that right? That the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God has a target for us to aim for. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. He didn't say, I always reach the mark. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. And so we're pressing toward the mark of the high calling, but we miss. We miss. We move to one side or the other, and an archer is the very best example that I can think of shooting an arrow and that arrow missing the mark. And so the Bible says that's called sin when we miss the mark. It is sin. And so I've been watching some guys shoot these, and it didn't look like a big deal to me. Let's see. Roger, show me how you would look. Well, here, you take it. And show me. Roger told me something that I did not know earlier. What did you call it? Robin Hood shot?
A Robin Hood shot.
This guy's the expert. I've never shot a bow like that. My brother had one time that I'd try to shoot it, and I'd always take the hide off my arm right here with it. And this is called a Robin Hood shot. Do you know what happened there? He shot this first arrow, right? And then he took the next arrow and he shot it into the first arrow he shot. Isn't that amazing? That guy is good.
blind hog finds an acre and everything.
That is amazing. I would have kept that too. That's quite a deal. Now show me about pulling this deal back. Yeah, okay.
Release on it because it makes it a little easier. What mark you're shooting at?
Watch those drums. Did you see that? Hey, that looked pretty easy, didn't it? I think I could do that. I mean, how many years?
I've been shooting for about 30.
Okay. What I need, I see you pull this thing up. Oh, like that.
Yep.
Listen, he shot a balloon that was 6 inches around. I believe I can beat that. First try. What I need is a volunteer. We've got a. Did you ever shoot a bow?
Uh-huh.
Would you get back there at the back and put this apple on your head? You people on that outside edge might want. Are you ready? I'm not going to do that. Because I know that I'd miss the mark. Thank you, Raj. You trusted your pastor,
did
you?
I did.
That's good. Well, you and I, we're just learning this thing about life. We're going through this thing at life, and we miss the mark. But it doesn't mean that we intend to miss the mark. Of course, I used that illustration a few years ago, but I think that, and believe it or not, Ron and I didn't have that made up. He just volunteered. He's pretty sure I wasn't going to try that, I guess. Yeah. And you know the truth of living out this life is that there are some folks that just do a better job than others do. But it doesn't matter how good a job we do, we all miss the mark. And so what I want us to look at today is not so much missing the mark, not spend all of our time thinking about missing the mark, but when we do miss the mark, that we know that there's a way to get forgiveness. We know there's a place that you and I can go that we will be completely and absolutely forgiven. And it's here in this Scripture. So one of the doctrinal issues of this passage is that there is a purpose for divine forgiveness. God had planned that in His plan. He knew that we would miss the mark. And so He has planned out for us what would happen when His people missed the mark. Now, it stands to that we understand that the lost will always miss the mark. Well, the fact is the saved will always miss the mark. But that we have divine forgiveness. And I want us to look at the doctrinal issue behind this divine forgiveness. The purpose of divine forgiveness is in verse 6 and verse 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you remember last Sunday we talked about how important that fellowship was, the fellowship that we have with God and the same fellowship that we have with one another. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I want to make sure that you understand in verse 7 that it does not say that we can live a sinless life. Now, some folks would take parts of the Bible and misinterpret them and believe that after they get saved that they do not sin anymore. I've had folks make statements that were similar to that. After I've gotten saved, I haven't sinned. Well, that's not true. That's just not true. And there's some bigger denominations that believe that it's possible for, when folks get saved, that it's possible for them to live a life without sin, that they can actually live without sin. But that's not what the Bible is teaching here. What it is teaching that you and I need to understand is that there is not a sin that you and I can commit that God would not forgive. Some folks get it in their head that, well, I can't be saved because of all that I've done. I can't get God's forgiveness for all that I've done. Well, this verse says that God's Son, Jesus Christ, His blood cleanses us from all sin. There's not a sin that you and I could commit that God could not forgive. It's in His nature to forgive. It's in His purpose in this divine forgiveness. It restores broken fellowship. It doesn't do away with the consequences of sin. The story is told about a young man that did wrong, and he confessed it. He went to his father and told him that he'd done what he wasn't supposed to do, and his dad told him, said, go, well, make it right with God. Confess it. And allow God to forgive you. And so he did that, and he came back. He said, I've done that. He said, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to drive a nail in the back door that represents that sin. And so he did, and he came back. And he said, I did it. And he said, okay. He said, take this hammer and go pull that nail out. Well, as time went on, every time the young man would sin, he'd come talk to his dad about it, and his dad would give him this big nail and a hammer. He said, go drive this in the back door. He'd go do it. He'd say, you got forgiveness? I got forgiveness. He said, take this hammer and go pull that nail out. And pretty soon the young man said, Dad, I get the point. I understand that I can go to the Lord and ask forgiveness, and He completely forgives me. And I understand about pulling the nail out. But he said, have you seen that back door lately? That big nail is ruining the back door. It's leaving a scar on that back door that everybody's going to notice. Well, the same way with sin. Even though God forgives us of sin, He does not erase the consequences of that sin. If a drunk gets in his automobile, drives down the road, well, Gwen and I were talking about this yesterday about a young man in our community that we knew about that had a head-on collision because of drug abuse with another vehicle in it, down by Marshall, and it killed one of the individuals in the car that he hit. It does not erase the consequences of that sin. We can get forgiveness, but it doesn't erase the consequences of that sin. If through our sin we lose a limb, that limb's still gone. The consequences of that sin is still there. Verse 5 says, God is light. Darkness is the absence of light. And I've noticed this, that when you bring light in, the darkness flees. I don't know where it goes. Do you know where it goes? I've been around this building for 30-plus years. I know about where everything is. I know where the pews are and the pulpit and the steps and everything. But I can come along, I can come in here at night and start looking for the lights. If I come through that hallway there, and this is dark as a dungeon in here, I get on this wall and start down that wall like this, hunting for those switches. And when I turn the switch on, one or two lights come on, but the darkness flees. It is gone. I don't know where it goes. It is here. It is here when I come in, but when I turn the light on, that darkness flees. And the Lord says it's the same way. God is light. Darkness is the absence of light. And when you bring light in, the darkness has to flee. Look with me at John's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, the third chapter. This is one of my favorites, by the way. I preach out of John 3 quite a bit. Look down at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness. Did you know that? Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Look at verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Look at this. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. That means uncovered. They're revealed. Have you ever felt like that God was revealing your sin? That he was blowing the whistle? That anything that you tried to do, that God revealed it? Light commends the truth also. If we walk in the light, verse 7 says in 1 John 1, if we walk in the light, if we follow Jesus, that's what that's talking about, walking in the light. John, the 8th chapter, talks about that. Look at verse 12, John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then verse 7 says we have fellowship one with another if we walk in the light. You can't have fellowship with God and not have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what he said here. Fellowship, somebody said that's two fellows in a ship. Fellowship is vertical and horizontal. And that's what he's teaching here. You can't have horizontal fellowship in the church. And I won't be able to get to this morning, but I wish that I could. Stephen Alford said the reason that church doesn't have revival is because of this right here, this horizontal fellowship. Because we can't stay in fellowship with one another. Well, through this passage, I think I've made a discovery. The reason that this right here is not possible, the reason that this horizontal fellowship is not possible, is because there's not this vertical fellowship going on all of the time. And that we're trying to straddle the fence some way. The reason Stephen Alford said the reason we don't see revival today is that we're so divided. We do not love one another. We've got to come to a place to take ownership of others in the church. I underlined that little statement in his book because I thought, now how do you do that? How do you come to a place to take ownership for other folks in the church? Well, if you're having that fellowship, and the Bible says that the whole world is to know who we are by our love for one another, that we take ownership of their lives also. What's going on in their life, that we take enough interest in them that we would say, is there something wrong? Is something going on here that you'd like to talk about? And then verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. All sin. Not part of it. All of it. The songwriter said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious state, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Songwriter also said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. I like this line. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. You know what he's talking about. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Is that true? Lost is lost. Is that not the truth? Lost is lost. And then 1 and verse 9, my favorite verse. And we'll close with this verse. If we confess our sin, what does that mean? What does it mean to confess our sin? Is that the hard part? What does that mean, to confess? Well, I've read several different translations on that verse, and this is my own translation of that. It's calling a spade a spade. I've noticed politicians make up new definitions of sin. Have you noticed that? I misspoke. Lord, I misspoke. No, I told a lie. That's what call a spade a spade. I told a lie. I didn't tell the truth. It's getting before God and getting honest with God and talking to God about where we miss the mark, where we've pulled the string back and turned loose the arrow. but it has drifted off to the right or to the left. It's gone in a direction that we didn't mean for it to go. Maybe it wasn't intentional in our life, but we missed the mark. So it's calling a spade a spade. It's saying, it's calling sin what sin is. That was an evil thought. That was that I did wrong. I misstepped there. I hurt your feelings, and I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that way. I should not have acted in that way. I was in the wrong. But this verse gets better and better if we confess our sin, if we call it what it is. And here, it talks about the character of God. He is, what's that next word? Faithful. Faithful. God is always faithful. He is, you know, I may do one thing one time and do something else another time. Do the same thing all the time. God does the same thing all the time. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let's stand together. I think there's two areas of thought that we can look at in 1 John. One is the person who is lost, the person who does not know Christ as their Savior. God is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. You'd say, well, the Bible says that we confess our sins. Does that mean that if we come to Jesus, we've got to try to think of everything that we've ever done and we confess that? I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think that we confess to him that we're a sinner and that we're lost and that we need him. And we invite him to come into our heart as Savior. And then after we do get saved and we miss the mark, then I think that we get real specific about our sin as we confess it. Lord, I just keep doing this. That just keeps coming out of my mouth. I just keep thinking that wrong thought. Lord, forgive me. And guess what? He just keeps on doing it. One thing that I've thought of this week when I was thinking about this message, that his mercy is new every day. Every day, his mercy is new every day that he has for us. And whenever we feel that way, well, I just keep bringing it up. And God just keeps forgiving us. And we may be leaving a scar on the back door, but he just keeps on forgiving us. So let me ask you this. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity at? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you don't, would you be saved today? Would you ask Jesus into your heart as Savior today? If you are saved and God's dealing with you about another something else in your life, would you deal with that today? Would you recommit your heart and your life to him? Maybe God's dealing with you about becoming a part of this fellowship. You need to do that. Would you do that today? We're going to sing a verse of a song. Give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. As we sing, you come.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on earth not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me
Lord, thank you for this opportunity we've had to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we leave here, that we would not forget that word, that we would live out that word, that we would carry it with us, that we would share it, that we would proclaim it, that we would live it in our lives. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.